Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right. And welcome, everybody, to episode number 20 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Mike, thank you for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Tony. How's it going today?
It's going pretty well. It's sunny again. It's pretty nice weather, and it's kind of cool. It's been good running weather with the coolness. It hasn't been the best hanging out in the yard weather, but I'll take this for running reasons.
We're still remote today, Tony. I miss your kitchen. You always have these snacks. I haven't been snacking lately. It's been pretty dire.
Well, I saw, Mike, actually, this is off topic a little bit, but it is on the topic of snacks. You've got some gardens going.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have some snacks pretty soon.
Hopefully. Well, yeah, that is if I do things right, and I'm lucky, I think. Those two things have to happen if I do actually get snacks. And if not, I got a lot of dirt, so there's that.
No, that's a pretty cool project, though. Have your own garden going up there. I like that.
Yeah, hope so.
No, so yeah, everybody. So this week, like I say, episode number 20 of the podcast will be a little bit of an abbreviated version, especially this first portion, simply because there aren't a lot of races and that kind of thing. So our results part of the podcast, there's nothing to talk about. Our upcoming races part of the podcast, there's nothing to talk about. So this part before our interview is going to be relatively short compared to what we normally do. And then stay tuned for our interview part, as well as we talk with former local and now Bellingham, Washington native Matt Welch. He'll talk a little bit about his days at Proctor, running here in Duluth and the community that he was able to be a part of here, and then his collegiate and post-collegiate days and what he's doing kind of with his professional life as well. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a really cool interview that we'll have later on.
Yeah. In the meantime, I guess we can kind of continue the normal rundown portion. Races, like you mentioned, Tony, are pretty much across the board canceled, for the next 4 weeks, like our podcast cycle. So I think the one thing to report on with that, we'll keep our eyes open for virtual events and things of that nature. But I think for today, the one thing to report is the city of Duluth has pulled the special event permits through June. A lot of local races that, of course, require a special event permit through the city of Duluth, but also, things like birthday parties and barbecues and weddings and stuff. But I think that we can expect, especially within Duluth here, pretty much no races through June. So kind of a grim news brief, but that's the news in terms of races for right now.
Yeah, and it is kind of disappointing. This is the time of the season where things have kicked off. Vickers 5K would have occurred by now. The Brian Kraft 5K down in the cities would be coming up in a couple of weeks. There's other big races kind of up in the trail world in May too, up the shore, Chippewa, that kind of thing. So yeah, a lot of your traditional races are not happening so far this year, and hopefully by the time the summer or at least the fall things get rolling a little bit better.
But people are still running, and people are running on the trails, which brings us to our next segment, the trails report. Was it last week, Tony, or 2 weeks ago that the blanket trail closure opened up in the city of Duluth? And I know people have been getting out and enjoying the dirt for sure.
Yeah, and they are in spectacular condition right now too. So it is I'm sure people are thrilled to be out there on the trails and running some other places that they haven't been able to run for a couple of months probably or so.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed with the trails, and I guess this is my report, like you mentioned though, Tony, excellent condition. Anyone listening, go check out the trails in Duluth right now. We've had such a dry spring. They're in really excellent shape. So that's fun. One thing I noticed, I went up to one of my absolute very favorite running spots, which is the Normanna Road Trailhead outside of Duluth, for some miles on the Superior Hiking Trail. And there are definitely quite a few trees down in certain spots. And so that's definitely something to consider, especially if you're going, you know, off the beaten path outside of Duluth city limits, which obviously right now as we record, there's a stay-at-home order, so no unnecessary travel. But, you know, if it's a 30-minute drive out of town, I think that's okay, right? either way, off the beaten path a little bit, definitely. I think a lot of these trail volunteers maybe are coming from outside of Duluth. I don't think a lot of these trail volunteers and section adopters have really had the chance to get out and clear. And especially there's no group volunteer efforts, you know, chainsaws and such. So I think there's probably a little more of the trail, trees down on the trail than normal. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, Mike, we went, my family and I went out to the SHT off of Fox Farm the other day and hiked the Sucker River area, that spur trail up to the crossing the Sucker River. And we got past the, you probably know the Beaver Dam where the Beaver Pond is there, past Sucker River. And we got from the trailhead, maybe a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, and a major tree was down over the trail. We actually just turned around. You know, you could go around it if you were really wanting to go around that tree, but it was blocking the whole trail for sure. So,
did you get any ticks out there?
No, we did not actually.
Oh, I went on a run the Normanna just a couple days ago. No ticks, but the week before I picked up 6.
Wow.
So I think they're out. I don't know if it's the cold or the recent cold. It's been a little chilly in the mornings, if that has any difference. But yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago. I had 6 ticks on me. So
wow,
they're out.
Yeah, that's rough. We fortunately, no, we didn't have any. And like you said, it might have been that cold because there was that really cold night, either the night before or 2 nights before we went out. So that might have zapped them a little bit or slowed them down.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on to Coach's Corner, I know you have a highly controversial topic to discuss, Tony.
Yeah, so this is I'm going to call it, you can take this as a Coach's Corner thing if you want, but I would take it more as a what Tony is into kind of a thing. But it is controversial because we are not afraid here at the Duluth Rundown to tackle the hard topics. What I am into lately is running in my old cotton shirts. It's been really nice because it's been, what, 35, 45, maybe 50 degrees for most of my runs lately. And, you know, that's cool enough where you're not going to be sweating a lot. And you know how your, Mike, your favorite synthetic tech tee that you got from a race that's like 5 years old and it smells 24/7. You, no matter how many times you wash it, you can't get the smell out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, cotton doesn't do that. You can run in it, you can sweat in it, you wash it, and it smells good again. And you can have that same cotton shirt for 10 years and continue to run in it, and the odor doesn't get held in there. So I thought, you know what, instead of just continuing to wear all my tech tees at a time when probably I don't need to, I can hold off on that and just run in my cotton shirts just like we used to long before, you know, tech tees were so prevalent. You know, everybody of a certain age ran in their cotton shirts, and you know, we've all lived to tell the tale. So I've been going old school, Mike. I've been turning back the clock.
Wow.
And, running in my long sleeve cotton tees in this 45 degree weather, and it's been perfect. I'm cozy, it's nice and soft against my skin, it doesn't feel like plastic clothing. So I'm encouraging everybody, for the time being anyway, to break out your cotton shirts and go for a run. And pretend, you know, maybe put a sweatband around the forehead, pretend it's like 1992 or whatever, and go for a run.
Wow. See, it was bludgeoned into my mind, the phrase cotton is rotten.
No, cotton is king. Like, cotton.
Well, I'm super curious. I might have to try the old cotton long sleeve. I got plenty of those, so.
It really 100% can run in cotton in this kind of weather. You're going to be just fine. If you're doing a 20 mile long run and it's 80 degrees and you're wearing a cotton shirt, that thing's going to weigh about 12 pounds just by itself after a while. Without a doubt, tech tees wick moisture better than cotton does. But in this kind of temperature and you're just going out for an easy 4 to 6 mile run or whatever, you're not going to be sweating a whole heck of a lot unless you're doing a hard workout. But chances are you're just doing an easy run. Just wear your cotton shirt. It's really comfortable. You won't die. You'll be fine.
That might even loop into the gear review, because I don't think either of us have a gear review. So maybe that the cotton topic.
It's like almost like an anti-gear review. Next it'll be like baggy sweatpants, like gray sweatpants I'll be running in. You never know.
No way. No, absolutely no. The headband, no, I think the headband is like the top limit of anti-gear that's acceptable.
Yeah, especially like me as a bald guy with the headband, that would be really bad.
Yeah, sweat still drips from the brow, you know, like. I guess we can jump to the what I'm into section, at least for me, and I remember vividly our conversation a couple months ago, I guess now, with Harry Cottrell, looking back at his storied running career and talking about how he regretted not doing as much cross training. And I've been really enjoying personally doing gravel cycling lately, which I think is just such an excellent like aerobic base building activity, and you know, just kind of something different than, you know, smashing my legs running all the time, and also just really fun, really fun.
Yeah.
And I think here in Duluth, we live in like a cyclist's mecca, and so a runner's mecca too, I guess. But really, I think every runner should incorporate a little bit of cycling, just for the fact of it's really fun, and we have excellent opportunities for it here in Duluth, whether it be road cycling. Mountain biking obviously is huge in Duluth, just the opportunities and the options. But gravel biking, there are some really cool routes pretty close to town. And if you get outside of town 20 miles, oh man, this is just really crazy. I mean, endless gravel roads, and you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere. Really fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. I got into that gravel scene a handful of years ago and loved it. And there's two major things I love about gravel bike riding. And one is there's not a lot of cars. So you're out there out there alone or with your buddy if it's not in COVID year and you're riding with some friends. And it's just kind of the sound of the gravel crushing underneath the tires. And that's about it. The occasional car. But they're not going 60 miles an hour. They're going like 30, and you can see them coming from a mile away because of the dust anyway. So you feel really safe. And then two is just the chance to see some scenery that you never get to see. It's a pretty cool way to spend some time for sure.
Yeah. And, definitely agree. And I like looking at the maps too and saying like, I want to go there. And, one of the resources, and especially if you're listening right now, you say to yourself, I want to try some gravel biking. Gravel Map is a really cool online resource that shows gravel roads in the area, and you can kind of plot like a cool loop. So I really enjoyed that aspect too, of like plotting a route and then going out and seeing if I can do the loop. And Gravel Map, I think it's gravelmap.com. Just search Gravel Map and you'll find it. That's fun.
Yeah. It is. It's gravelmap.com. It's a great website, and it's all over all over the world, at least all over the country. Every gravel road is mapped out on there, and then you can click on that road specifically. It'll tell you the distance of that, and sometimes there's people who have ridden it have some information on there about, like, you know, it can be kind of muddy, or it's a hilly climb, or whatever information they want to put on there. So it's a sweet website.
Yeah, absolutely. Any shout out there, Tony, or else I know I have one for sure.
Yeah, I've got one real quick, and it's basically kind of to everybody who's involved with the run the virus thing, that everybody, that kind of virtual sort of relay race kind of deal that people are doing. I've been trying to stay away from Facebook and social media a little bit during this pandemic a little bit, and just try to kind of unplug as much as I possibly can. But when I do go onto Facebook, I see a ton of people who are involved with the Run the Virus. And I think it's pretty cool that people are doing that. It's a good way to kind of stay motivated and stay in touch with, you know, the performance side of running. So shout out to everybody who's involved with that. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah. My shout out is to Kyle Severson, Dr. Kyle, one of my running buddies, and also the owner of local chiropractor clinic, Wilderness Wellness Chiropractic. And I want to do a shout out for Dr. Kyle because he's been doing some really cool bike run workouts where I know I've talked about this on this podcast, the DuluthAdventures.com website with multi-sport loops and, you know, plotting out the kind of bike run or whatever multi-sport human powered loop that you can think of. And Kyle's been doing pretty much like one a weekend the last couple weeks, and some really cool ideas, and definitely like a hard, they look like pretty hard efforts. And so big ups to Kyle for kind of staying motivated without races and you know, finding something to do to bring the pain, I guess. No, a couple weeks back, he did a cool loop. I think it was like Silver Bay to Gooseberry on the Gitche-Gumee Trail. You know, bike one way, run back. And then he did a very similar one, run the Munger Trail from the northern terminus here in Duluth to, I think, Carlton. And he had his bike locked up. Then he biked back through Jay Cook and 23. And so it was kind of a loop, another run bike loop, and very cool to see. And nice job, Kyle, getting those done.
That's sweet. That's really cool. Nice job, Kyle. I'll have to check those out on your on your website, Mike. That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have anything else, Mike, for this section of the podcast?
Gosh, I think that's about it. Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's cool. We'll keep this part a little bit shorter, and it'll give us a little more time for that interview with Matt. So, yeah, everybody stay tuned for that part of the podcast.